Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is the start of a new series in which I'm going to be reading through a short treatise, a work by Clement of Alexandria, who lived from about the year 150 to the year 215. The treatise is titled, Who is the Rich Man That Shall Be Saved? It is an exposition of the account of Christ's encounter with the rich young ruler that's found in Mark 10, verses 17 through 27, and paralleled in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22, and Luke 18, verses 18 through 23. Clement of Alexandria was the teacher at the famous catechetical school at Alexandria in Egypt, and among his best-known students was Origen of Alexandria. In this treatise, Who is the Rich Man That Shall Be Saved?, Clement takes pains to suggest that the rich may indeed become enlightened with the truth, may become Christians, and then they may distinguish themselves, especially through good works. This little treatise consists of 42 short chapters. I plan to read 5 to 6 chapters in each episode, so there'll be about 8 episodes. And I'm making use of a translation of this work by William Wilson. And so let's begin with chapter 1. Those who bestow laudatory addresses on the rich appear to me to be rightly judged not only flatterers and base, in vehemently pretending that things which are disagreeable give them pleasure, but also godless and treacherous. Godless because neglecting to praise and glorify God, who is alone perfect and good, of whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and for whom are all things, they invest with divine honors men wallowing in an execrable and abominable life, and what is the principal thing, liable on this account to the judgment of God, and treacherous, because although wealth is of itself sufficient to puff up and corrupt the souls of its possessors, and to turn them from the path by which salvation is to be attained, they stupefy them still more by inflating the minds of the rich with the pleasures of extravagant praises, and by making them utterly despise all things except wealth, on account of which they are admired, bringing, as they say, as the saying is, fire to fire, pouring pride on pride and adding conceit to wealth, a heavier burden to that which by nature is a weight, from which somewhat ought rather to be removed and taken away as being a dangerous and deadly disease. For to him who exalts and magnifies himself, the change and downfall to a low condition succeeds in turn, as the divine word teaches. For it appears to me to be far kinder than basely to flatter the rich and praise them for what is bad, to aid them in working out their salvation in every possible way, asking this of God, who surely and sweetly bestows such things on his own children, and thus, by the grace of the Savior, healing their souls, enlightening them, and leading them to the attainment of the truth. And whosoever obtains this and distinguishes himself in good works shall gain the prize of everlasting life. Now prayer that runs its course till the last day of life needs a strong and tranquil soul, and the conduct of life needs a good and righteous disposition, reaching out towards all the commandments of the Savior. Chapter 2. Perhaps the reason of salvation appearing more difficult to the rich than to poor men is not single but manifold. For some, merely hearing, and that in an offhand way, the utterance of the Savior that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven, despair of themselves as not destined to live, surrender all to the world, cling to the present life as if it alone was left to them, and so diverge more from the way to the life to come, no longer inquiring either whom the Lord and Master calls rich or how that which is impossible to man becomes possible to God. But others rightly and adequately comprehend this, but attaching slight importance to the works which tend to salvation do not make the requisite preparation for attaining the objects of their hope. And I affirm both of these things of the rich who have learned both the Savior's power and his glorious salvation. With those who are ignorant of the truth, I have little concern. Chapter 3. Those then who are actuated by a love of the truth and love of the brethren, and neither are rudely insolent towards such rich as are called, nor, on the other hand, cringe to them for their own avaricious ends, must first by the word relieve them of their groundless despair, and show with the requisite explanation of the oracles of the Lord that the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven is not quite cut off from them if they obey the commandments. Then admonish them that they entertain a causeless fear that the Lord gladly receives them, provided they are willing, and then, in addition, exhibit and teach how and by what deeds and dispositions they shall win the objects of hope, inasmuch as it is neither out of their reach, nor, on the other hand, attained without effort, but, as is the case with athletes, to compare things small and perishing with things great and immortal, let the man who is endowed with worldly wealth reckon that this depends on himself. For among those, one man, because he despaired of being able to conquer and gain crowns, did not give in his name for the contest, while another, whose mind was inspired with this hope, and yet did not submit to the appropriate labors and diet and exercises, remained uncrowned and was balked in his expectations. So also let not the man that has been invested with worldly wealth proclaim himself excluded at the outset from the Savior's lists, provided he is a believer and one who contemplates the greatness of God's philanthropy, nor let him, on the other hand, expect to grasp the crowns of immortality without struggle and effort, continuing untrained and without contest. But let him go and put himself under the word as his trainer, and Christ the president of the contest. And for his prescribed food and drink, let him have the New Testament of the Lord, and for exercises the commandments, and for elegance and ornament the fair dispositions, love, faith, hope, knowledge of the truth, gentleness, meekness, pity, gravity, so that when by the last trumpet the signal shall be given for the race and departure hence, as from the stadium of life, he may with a good conscience present himself victorious before the judge who confers the rewards, confessedly worthy of the fatherland on high, to which he returns with crowns and the acclamation of angels. Chapter 4. May the Savior then grant to us that, having begun the subject from this point, we may contribute to the brethren what is true and suitable and saving, first touching the hope itself, and second touching the access to the hope. He indeed grants to those who beg, and teaches those who ask, and dissipates ignorance and dispels despair by introducing again the same words about the rich, which become their own interpreters and infallible expounders. For there is nothing like listening again to the very same statements which till now in the Gospels were distressing you, hearing them as you did without examination and erroneously through puerility. And going forth into the way, one approached and kneeled, saying, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit everlasting life?" And Jesus saith, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." And he answering saith to him, "All these have I observed." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, and said, "One thing thou lackest. If thou wouldest be perfect, sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he was rich, having great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith to his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. More easily shall a camel enter through the eye of a needle than a rich man into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure and said, Who then can be saved? And he, looking upon them, said, What is impossible with men is possible with God. For with God all things are possible. Peter began to say to him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, Whosoever shall leave what is his own, parents and brethren and possessions, for my sake and the gospel's, shall receive an hundredfold, now in this world lands and possessions and houses and brethren with persecutions, and in the world to come life everlasting. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Chapter 5. These things are written in the gospel according to Mark, and in all the rest correspondingly. Although perchance the expressions vary slightly in each, yet all show identical agreement in meaning. But well knowing that the Savior teaches nothing in a merely human way, but teaches all things to his own with divine and mystic wisdom, we must not listen to his utterances carnally, but with due investigation and intelligence must search out and learn the meaning hidden in them. For even those things which seem to have been simplified to the disciples by the Lord himself are found to require not less, even more attention than what is expressed enigmatically from the surpassing superabundance of wisdom in them. And whereas the things which are thought to have been explained by him to those within, those called by him the children of the kingdom, require still more consideration than the things which seemed to have been expressed simply, and respecting which thereof no question were asked by those who heard them, but which, pertaining to the entire design of salvation, and to be contemplated with admirable and super celestial depth of mind, we must not receive superficially with our ears, but with application of the mind to the very spirit of the Savior and the unuttered meaning of the declaration. Here ends chapter 5, and here ends the reading of chapters 1 through 5 of Clement of Alexandria's treatise, Who is the Rich Man That Shall Be Saved? You can look for more episodes that will be still to come. Till then, take care and God bless.